All right, here we started recording, so you don't want anybody to listen to you talking, okay? Let's now discuss the topic of perceiving life. Perceiving life, understanding life. What is it to you? What life to you means what? What does it mean to you? You're alive. Meaning what? You got it? Do you understand the point that we're trying to get to here? You're alive, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever think that what's the meaning of life to you? How do you perceive life to be? Bad guys perceive life as an opportunity for them to take advantage of others, to rob them, to take their money. So they work and they rob them to take the easy money. And then they go get drunk or do evil things. That is the perception of life. It's just an opportunity for them to take advantage of others. And they get better and better at it. And they plan more wicked and more wicked plans to take advantage of others, to ride them like donkeys and horses, to suck in their money, to deceive them, to get everything they have. That's what life means to them. And that's the philosophy of life, okay? Now, the reformers, their philosophy in life is they want to spread goodness. They want to help people be better, help people be decent. They want to change the reality and make it a better reality. In any way, environmentalist people who volunteer in environmentalist organizations, they want to protect the environment. They want the environment to be better. They want the water to be regulated so you don't dump chemicals in the water. They want the animals not to be killed so that the animals don't, you know, the existence of certain animals and species don't end from Earth. They want the air to be regulated so you don't breathe bad air. They don't want a lot of pollution. They don't want pollution to happen. So they fight to keep the environment clean. They don't want sound pollution. They don't want any kind of pollution. And they resist. And because they oppose, trust me, if they didn't oppose, then you would have a water that's not regulated. Which means what? Which means an industrial guy, sometimes you could call this person who cares about only industry and making money, pocketing money, that industrial guy, or industrial wacko, like they call them, they will what? They will dump their waste in the rivers. They dump their waste in the lake. You swim in the lake, you come out of the lake, and oil is covering all of your body. They just don't want to be bothered. Or, you know, bad guys, they do cheap solutions. Like, if they change oils, you know what could be done if things are not regulated? When somebody changes an oil, those people, they dig a big, huge, huge pipe into the ground. And whatever oil they drain from the cars, they pump it into the ground. So they end up polluting the groundwater, right? Okay? So the environmentalist people, their job is to oppose that and to demand that the water to be regulated and the air to be regulated. And they demand that in order for you to dump your trash, it has to be pre-processed first. Before you dump the sewage water into the ocean, it has to be pre-processed, cleaned up, okay? And it has to be disposed in a way safe to the environment, okay? So that's the philosophy of life. They dedicate themselves to this noble cause. Another kind of people, which are the peace activists, their job is to oppose war. They don't want war. They want people to talk. They want peace on Earth. So they don't want fights. And they oppose that. And that's their mission of life. That's how they perceive life. And that's how this is what life means to them. It's always prevent war or resist war. Okay? And then you have all kinds of people. The question is who you are. How do you view life? Tell me, life for you means what? Is it an opportunity to take advantage of others? No. Is it an opportunity for you to make the world a better place? Yes. How?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
How do you want to, what do you plan to make the world a better place? What are your plans?
Like, don't waste.
Do your business in an ethical way. For example, that's a good suggestion.
Yeah.
Do your business in an ethical way. When you do your business, don't waste. Don't take advantage of others. So when you do your business in an ethical way, you are being part of the solution, not part of the what?
Problem.
Would Allah judge you for fixing the problems of the whole entire world?
No.
Why? Because it's beyond your reach. You're 1 in 4 billion, right? But Allah will judge you whether you...
No, it's actually 1 in 6 billion.
1 in 6 billion. But Allah will judge you whether you were part of the solution or part of
the problem.
Here is the problem. Where are you from this problem? Did you try to become part of the solution or did you become part of the problem? That's how are you going to be judged. And you will be accounted for the things in your circle of influence. Like, everybody has a circle of influence. You have a space around you that you can make a difference in, right? So this space, okay, you will be asked about this space. What did you do in this space? The first thing is your inner reality. You would be questioned about your inner reality. What was your inner reality? Was you a shallow person, all he cares about is video games and playing and all this? Or were you a deep thinker, person who tries to think deeply and provide solutions for the world problems and be part of the solution? Who are you? Do you care only about clothes? Do you care only about, you know, cars? Do you care only about shoes? Or you are balanced? You care about cars and shoes and clothes, and you care about serious business too, making the world a better place. Okay, do you have to go out of your way to make the world a better place? No. If you, as a person, insist on doing your business the ethical way, then you are being part of the solution automatically. So, let me hear from you. What are your views of life? What do you want to do? What do you want to become? Go ahead. All for her. Go ahead. Huh? So, who are you? What do you view? You view life as what? Let's hear from you. You view life as an opportunity for what? An opportunity for what? To go to school and graduate and that's it?
No.
Are you a gear in a machine?
No.
Like you just go with the machine? They tell you so. Go to school, do your homework, take the test, go back home, eat dinner, do your homework, watch TV, okay, like a gear in a machine. And if this machine is a wrong machine, you just become a gear, okay, in this machine. Are you like that?
No.
Is it like a... Are you part of a production line? You know what a production line is?
Assembly line.
Or a production line. They want to produce a car. So they have, here's the production line. Kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade. Okay? They run you through that production line. And then college. And then you graduate as a product. Who's ready for the market. For the labor market. Okay? Is that how you want to be? Or you want to be different? Do you want to be something else that you choose for yourself? Or you're being pushed like a cow
something
in a certain... You want to think, what do I want? Do I just want to work and enjoy and that's it? Or do I have another goal in this life? Okay? So this is what we want to talk about today. So, now... Let's try to see the relationship between the maker of this life and his nature. Because when you see this relationship, then you will be able to have the correct understanding of life and correct perception of life and do the right thing. So Allah has names, right?
Yeah.
Names, the names of Allah explain His nature, right?
Yeah.
So they tell you, Allah, is Allah fair or not? The name Al-Adl, the most fair, Al-Muqsit, the most just, will tell you that Allah is what? Is fair.
Yeah, fair.
Okay. Is Allah merciful or not?
Yeah.
The name, the most merciful, will tell you. Does Allah forgive or He doesn't?
He forgives.
He tells you. The names of Allah will answer all your questions. So, the names of Allah, which are His nature, will reflect on this life, because the life is His product, right? If you see a very good car, then what do you... Can you tell something about the maker of the car?
I mean, he really...
Maybe if the engine is so powerful and so good, but the body looks like boxes, then you will say, this maker is a very good engineer, but is a very bad artist. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. But if you see a cute, beautiful, gorgeous body, and the engine suck, then you will say, this engineer is a good artist, but a dumb scientist, or don't have much knowledge of engineering sciences. Right? So, by looking at the product, you can tell something about the maker, right? If you find a crime, then the maker of the crime is a criminal. If you find a charity work, then the maker of the charity work is kind, right? So you can tell exactly from the product. And this is how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam started learning about Allah. He first was born in a filthy, corrupted culture. He grew up, see, the production line in the Arabian Peninsula at that time was, you grow up, you worship the idols all your life,
and
you fight, you fight, you eat and drink, you fight, you eat and drink, you fight, you eat and drink, you trade, you fight, you trade, you fight, you eat and drink, trade, fight, eat and drink, and then die. That was the assembly line. That's not good. Your first name is Sammy, and you're doing something that is not acceptable in the class, which is putting your leg, uncovering your leg, putting it on the chair, and slapping your hands on it. So, okay? So Sammy's father is going to be able to listen to what he's doing, and he's going. And we are talking about a deep subject. Now, who gets bored from a deep subject? Shallow people. It doesn't click with them. It doesn't. It's just that they're so shallow that they are not able to understand these deep thoughts. What is he talking about? I want to play a video game. What is he talking about? No. Think deeply. You can make yourself a deep thinker by thinking deeply. Don't look at the shallow life. Don't just look at the outside. Go deep and understand. You're not just alive. This life has a purpose. And life for you should mean something. You would be dead much longer than you are alive. And you want to leave something behind. Something behind for you to qualify for the mercy of Allah. Something good. So that's why you need to think with me here. Okay? So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have any sources of guidance. He grew up in a culture, and the typical guy in the production line as a gear going into the machine of Arabia was, you worship gods, fake gods. What are these fake gods?
Idols.
They draw a picture for you, and they say this picture should be treated the way Allah is to be treated. Or they build a statue for you, and they say this statue should be appreciated and treated the way Allah should be appreciated and
treated.
Okay? Does it make sense?
Yeah.
It doesn't. Do you believe it that most of the people in Arabia, 99.9% of the people, okay, they were like gears in this machine. They just go worship the idols all their life, and they just do exactly what their parents did and taught them, and they just walk blindly on the same path and end up with the same thing. But there was one man who saw different meaning of this life. He looked at these idols before he's even told that he's a prophet. And he didn't get along with the idea. He just could not swallow that these dead statues should be treated like God and they have the powers of God. He just said no way. He refused that. What did he have? He just have deep thoughts. He thought, he said, does it make any sense that these pieces, dead objects have the powers of God? Have the powers to change you, to harm you? Have the powers to benefit you? How? This is a dead thing that doesn't even talk. What are you guys talking about here? Are you guys out of your senses? They used to look at him and say that he's crazy. He's different. He's crazy. He came up with this idea. Well, see, life is a matter of perception. They perceived his thoughts as crazy and odd. And they are, of course, the normal, sane people that make perfect sense. That's how they perceived it. So he started looking for Allah. He said, this is not Allah. So let me look, where is Allah? Then he, examining all what is around him, he rejected every perception of Allah around. And he figured out that none of these things existing around him is true. So he said, okay, I'm going to find Allah on my own. Then he came up with a very, very brilliant idea. You know what that brilliant idea is?
No.
Really tell you how deep in his thoughts is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He doesn't have any Qurans. He doesn't have any way to communicate with Allah. And he wants to find out who's Allah. He was starving to know who's Allah. So guess what idea he came up with. He thought about exactly what I'm saying. The relationship between the maker and his product. You think that is, wow, such a deep topic? Yes, it's a deep topic. And he got the idea. He said this life is a product of who? Allah. So by reading this life and observing this life, you can learn about the maker. So he said, okay. He said, okay, let me observe the nature. He went where? Into a cave. In the middle of the nowhere. And he started observing the nature. And he figured out that if he goes into this cave, he's going to free his mind. His mind will be free. Why? When he's living in Mecca, there was always a pressure on his mind to think in a certain way. Right? They always force him to think in a different way and live in a different way and accept a different thing. So he wanted to free himself from these glasses called the perception of life using the glasses of the Arab lords. Okay? So he said, in order to free my mind from this pollution of Mecca, I need to go into the cave, stay there until my mind becomes free mind. Okay? And let me observe and see who is Allah. So he started observing. And he learned about names of Allah that has to do with making life. He knew that Allah is a very good maker. And he takes care of little details. And he takes care of big animals and little animals. He feeds everybody. He creates resources. He's very creative. He creates a balance in everything. So you don't run out of oxygen. You don't run. He realized that Allah has all these things. But there are still things that he can't figure out by observing just the nature. Okay? There are values that are not observable in the nature. So he was starving and praying, Ya Allah, tell me who you are. Ya Allah, who are you? And what is the purpose of this life? What are you expecting from us? And what should we expect from you? And why did you make us? He was wondering and wondering and wondering and wondering. And one day, in the evening, ta-da, it's all almost dusk time, evening time. He was in that cave. When you go to Mecca, you should visit that cave. You should visit that cave. It looks like shell, like a shell, a seashell, like that. And of course, they write on it, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, later. But it is really, really, really an amazing cave. Go there and visit it. It is very near from the ground, so you don't have to struggle when you go there. But the cave of Thawr, where he was hiding during the immigration, it's very far and very high. So you're really going to have a hard time arriving there. It's very difficult to get there. But the cave of Hira is low elevation and it's very accessible, easy. So you go there. He was in that cave in the middle of the night, and then, not in the middle of the night, during like evening time, and then there is that moon, and then there is that shadow walking in. This shadow of a guy, the guy was clean. Okay, if you just walk from Mecca or right from Mecca to this cave, your clothes will be dirty. I mean, it's just normal. But this guy was shiny, shiny, shiny clean. Shiny clean. It's, you know, it's just like amazing. It's like he came from heaven. Exactly. He came from heaven. Okay? And then he walked in. Did he say, Assalamu alaikum Muhammad?
No.
Did he introduce himself?
No.
He walked in like that. And he walked to the Prophet. And then he faced the Prophet and then hugged the Prophet in a very tight, tight, painful, painful way. The Prophet said, I thought that this guy is the angel of death. And I am dying. Literally, the Prophet said, I was dying. Because he squished me, he hugged me in so tight, painful way. And then he let him go. And then he said, read. What? Read. Okay. So the Prophet said, the normal answer, a person doesn't know how to read. He doesn't know how to spell his name. So he said, I don't know how to read. The reason Allah picked the Prophet that he's illiterate is because Allah wants to say he gets a heavenly education. He gets a what?
Heavenly.
Do you need to read to get heavenly education? No. Earthly education, you have to read. But heavenly education, you can't. And this is why Allah says, عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى, that he was taught by Allah. Why? By what? By like Adam, alayhi salam. He wasn't taught by reading. He taught by revelations into the heart right away. So he didn't need to read or to write. But anyway, this very strange-looking guy hugged him and squished him, and he let him go and said, read. What would the answer?
I
don't know how to read. Was the guy satisfied with this answer?
No.
He didn't like the answer.
He got
him, and he squished him hard. And he said, read.
Read.
What was the response?
I don't know.
Read. Was the guy satisfied with his answer? No. So he squished him again. Same way, painful way. And he released him and he said, read. Now, I guess Prophet Muhammad figured that this answer is not acceptable. So if he would give the same answer, he would get the same painful hug. So he said, okay, read what? That was different now. Read what? Then that person said, read in the name of your Lord, who is the maker, who made, who created. Read. So now the question is, what is the meaning of this read? What could be the meaning of this read? Is it means recite? No, iqra means read. It doesn't mean recite. Okay? So what is it? What is it? Read what? Read what? What do you think, read what? Huh? read the words of the Lord.
The Quran.
That's one meaning. Could it only mean that? Or is it possible that Allah tells him to read life and understand life using the names of the Maker of this life? So you use the names of the Maker to understand and perceive life. So basically, you have, if I may use this, you go get, Islam gives you glasses. The brand of these glasses called Iqra. The brand of these glasses are called what?
Read.
Iqra, read. You put these glasses in your eye, and you see life through these glasses. Then, well, that's what it is. The names of Allah are going to tell you how should you deal with this life, how should you perceive this life, how should you understand this life. I'll give you an example. The first name that Allah gave for the Prophet to use in reading life, he said, Alladhi khalaq, the Maker. Alladhi khalaq, the Maker. The question is, the Maker, Alladhi khalaq. What that tells you about life is that life is a product of evolution or a product of the Maker.
Maker.
So, if you wear the glasses of Iqra, you will see life as a product of a Maker. A very powerful, supreme Maker. It's not a product of evolution. It's not a product of coincidence. It's not a product of something.
It's a product of nature.
It's product of a Maker. Take off the glasses. The people who didn't wear the glasses of Iqra, they said, oh, it was a coincidence. Oh, no. It was evolution from lower forms of existence. Oh, no. It never started. It was always there and will always be there. It didn't have a start. It didn't have end. I mean, I got a person at my work saying, there is nothing called start of life and end of life. This doesn't exist. It is just life has been always there, no start, and will always be there without end. Just keep going. Keeps going until somebody uses nuclear weapons, and then that will be the end. And that's it. That's just the end.
Do you always talk to your coworkers about religion?
We have intellectual discussions. It's not that we get into religions. We get into intellectual discussions about perception of life, meaning of life, intellectually. Okay, and it comes naturally between intellectual people. They do. Feel they don't talk like there are shallow people at work. Hey, buddy, the coffee today is. Oh yeah, I went this weekend. I bought this thing for that much money. I mean, they talk about nothing but, you know, silly, you know, shallow topics. And there are intellectuals at work. They find them engaging in intellectual discussions that involves perception of life. What life means to you? Okay, that comes naturally because this guy was, his perception of life is different. Is that you just work, make money, and spend money, enjoy money. So to him, what matters is the dollar. So to him, he was treating dollar like God. Because the center of his life was making the buck, making the dollar. And then he says, Jannah is to spend that dollar and enjoy. So Jannah is pleasure. Jannah is entertainment. Jannah is to go here and there and resorts and Hawaii and this. And to drink and all of that. And then he says, hellfire is poverty. Hellfire is pain. Hellfire is cancer.
Fire.
Hellfire is flu. Hellfire is fever. This pain to that person that was hellfire. And he said, other than that, I don't believe. And your perception of God, your perception of Jannah, your perception of hellfire, I don't believe into that. Okay? So, and then I asked him, then, you know, how do you explain the life? How do you explain this working system in this life? The universe, the planets, the outer space, the earth, the balance cycles, you know, all of these things. How do you explain them? He said, nobody made them. They have been always there, and will continue to be there. There will be changes, yes. Evolution, things evolve, yes. But it never really started. There was no start. This start is a myth. And the end is a myth. The only way it will end is the nuclear weapons or whatever he's thinking. Terminal wars between stupid humans for stupid reasons are going to terminate life on Earth.
Like country A and country B.
Exactly. That was his perception of life. Why? Why? Why did he see life that way? Because he's not wearing the glasses of اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق. خلق الإنسان من علق. He didn't read it. He didn't read it that way. He said, basically, he wears the glasses off, reading the name of Darwinism, for example.
What's that?
Or Darwinism, like Darwin. Or reading the something in it. Or just read. Read and make up your own superstitious beliefs. You know what a superstitious belief is? Myth. Islam protected us from myth.
Yeah.
Don't underestimate the influence of myth. Myth made people get a young girl and sacrifice her to the river because they thought that the river is going to get mad at them and flood them if they don't do that. Yeah. Don't. People worship power. People worship the power. People killed others in order to maintain power. People corrupted this life to maintain power. People committed crimes to stay in power. And we know the people who killed protesters so that they can stay in power. Okay?
Like the Russian guy.
Or like the people in Syria or the people in Libya or here and there. So what I'm trying to say here is that those people worship what? Power. They are treating power the way Allah is to be treated. Other people are worshiping money. You see? Is it any less dumbo to worship other than Allah, whatever it is? It's all myth. It's all superstitious beliefs.
Except for Allah.
Because He is the reality. He is the reality. His name is Al-Haq. Al-Haq means what? He is the reality. He is the true reality. He is the true remaining reality. So what is the reality? It's Allah is the true reality. He makes the true understanding of life. He represents the truth. Then why people are confused then? Because Shaitan is deceiving people.
Yeah.
Shaitan wants you to take the glasses off,
read
in the name of Allah, and then you will be confused. Why Shaitan wants you to be confused? Because he wants to take advantage of you. People who benefit from you being confused, there's a lot of people who benefit from you being confused. There is a lot of people who benefits from you
like
believing superstition.
Like a fortune teller?
For example. Okay. So that's an example. Okay, that's a good example of people who benefit and profit from you being deceived by superstitious beliefs like the Shaitan. Now, how deep is this thought?
Very shallow.
Huh? Very shallow.
Yeah,
to do that, it's very shallow. Now, so Prophet Muhammad, this is how he understood it and this is how he implemented it. And then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam read life in the name of Allah, understood life in the name of Allah, implemented life the way Allah wants it to be implemented. Let me just give you an example. Reading in the names of Allah and reading indifferent in the names of Allah. Just a simple example. The guy who invented the nuclear or the atomic bomb.
Robert Oppenheimer.
Don't be trivial, guys. Don't be like shallow people. Think deeply. Okay. He is intelligent, right?
Yeah.
He's
His
smart,
name is
right? He is well educated, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But what did he produce?
War.
A killing machine. A killing device that took the lives. He was expert in the technology of death, technology of destruction, technology of burning, technology of killing.
Blowing up.
His intelligence was rooted in the wrong way.
Exactly. Why? Because when he was learning college, he wasn't learning in the name of Allah. He was learning
names. Actually meant it to be only for like last ditch, and he was actually meant it to be good, the atomic bomb, Oppenheimer. He actually meant it to not be that bad.
And what happened?
And
the reality is what?
But he didn't mean to.
No, he had to.
Yeah, because the government forced him to.
No. No, he got an incentive package. He was offered a lot of benefits. If he would invent such a bomb, and he worshipped these benefits, and this is why he invented this bomb. Now, the question is, he puts the bomb in the hand of politicians. Don't we all agree that politicians are mostly corrupt?
Yeah.
Like
Mitt Romney. They say, okay... How do you know that the politician's lying?
When he makes up stuff?
No, when he's moving his lips.
Really?
Yeah. It means that he's lying all the time. That's a joke. Okay?
Oh.
So, it means that politicians...
Well, time keeps going.
Politicians are always lying. They are in the business of lying. Politics. Dirty politics.
And lying.
Diplomacy. You know what diplomacy is?
Yeah, like...
is to say the ugliest thing using the nicest words. Is to say the what?
The ugly
things using what?
Nice
words. It's like...
He sucks.
It's like, sir, we will kill you, sir. It's like that.
But kill is not a nice word.
Or, no, yeah, exactly. So you will choose that. Sir, we will terminate you, sir.
We'll execute you.
No. Very, very nice. Very, very nice. It's like a sweet police officer.
You'll end your pain.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, the bottom line I am getting at is that...
Politicians are...
You put this bomb, which is a killing machine, in the hands of corrupt politicians who, when they are going to use it, they are going to use it for corrupt purposes. That's what happened. So, what is better than that? What is better than that? Is you use the science to invent refrigerators, to invent ovens, to invent cars, to invent
solar. Wait, so is the guy who invented the oven going to go to heaven?
Well, it depends on why did he invent the oven. Did he want to go to heaven?
What if he accidentally invented
it? Well, it depends what he wants.
Like
Allah's fair. Listen. Allah's fair. Allah wants to know what he wants. So, if that guy wanted to go to Jannah for his invention, he gets Jannah. But I can tell you that a lot of people, when you ask them, why did you do this?
Uh-huh.
Did you do this to go to Jannah? He says, no.
They did it for the money.
No, what Jannah are you talking about? They don't want to, they never thought about Jannah. They didn't
want
to go to Jannah when they did that, so do we want to force them into Jannah? He didn't think about Jannah, he didn't want to be Jannah. Alright, you guys are dismissed.
Okay.
Alright? Can everybody come
out?
Thank you.